This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
In Dublin, Ireland, St. Patrick's Day has grown to become a four-day affair entitled St. Patrick's Festival. I had the absolute good fortune to participate in the St. Patrick's Festival in 2012, and it remains as one of my all-time favorite travel activities. Come along and join me as we visit with Susan Kirby, the director of St. Patrick's Festival, and then we'll chat with Simon O'Connor, curator of the Little Dublin Museum, who talks about the history of the St. Patrick's Parade. And then we'll sit down and chat with Christina Walsh, Brenda Kane, and Kira Segru with the Irish National Tourist Board as they share their insights and recommendations for cool things to do throughout the 4 days of festivities. The only time I've been in the midst of 500,000 happy, festive people anywhere in the world was when I participated in St. Patrick's Parade in downtown Dublin, Ireland. Susan Kirby, director of the St. Patrick's Festival and Parade.
I have the great honour in being allowed to use Dublin as a playground for the 17th of March every year. The team and I are hosting all of the international media, all the domestic media, the Irish audiences, the people who come to visit, and we're going to put on a show today that we believe will really blow people away. It's a very special celebration. We have a number of US bands as well joining us, our US friends every year, very loyal to the parade. We have bands coming from Europe, America, and of course Irish bands as well. And then we have pageant companies in a very fun, quirky, innovative way brought to life through street theatre. There's so much to see and do as part of the whole programme. You can log on remotely to look at this if you're back home in the States via live stream, and hopefully that will whet your appetite to travel next year.
And how many people are going to be at this parade? I heard some incredible numbers.
Yeah, well, it stretches through the capital, through all of our main streets. So we welcome in the region of 500,000 people on the streets of Dublin. It is to a degree weather dependent, so it will go up or down, but there's a very sizable hardy crew of people who will turn up no matter the weather, and we've actually had very good weather in the last number of years, so we've had incredible figures. Around 500,000 should be on the streets today, and many, many more looking both on the live broadcasts and then on the streaming broadcasts as well.
And so I imagine the pubs and the hoteliers and all the infrastructure loves this event.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I think everybody should be appreciative of it and should absolutely try to capitalise on it, but to be mindful as well that, you know, it's about the visitor experience, and I think that's something that I hope that Irish people are very strong in, making sure that all our visitors are welcomed and have all the information they need. So it's a village in a city, if you will, that type of atmosphere for this very special weekend. But the economic return for the festival is very sizable. So
it must be. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and something that we value and the country values very much. It's a platform here and it's a platform internationally, and we really value that. We actually very sincerely really, really appreciate people's love and support for the festival and for reaching out to Ireland Inc.
Awesome. Well, I should let you go. I really appreciate the time. Super quick before we go, a website for further information and upcoming.
Sure. Log on to stpatricksfestival.ie.
Susan, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Right.
Cheers.
Hi, my name is Simon O'Connor. I'm from the Little Museum of Dublin and City of a Thousand Welcomes. And we're here just up near Parnell Square, which is in the centre of Dublin City, and it's where the St. Patrick's Day Parade is about to start. In the background, there's a marching band. It's interesting, marching bands were one of the first kind of theatrical aspects of the parade here in the city. It used to be really a boring event that children wouldn't enjoy going to. It was mainly companies advertising themselves. But gradually, as time went on, the parade became more theatrical. Started involving children more, involving theatre, much more colour and costume, and really from the 1990s that took off, and now Dublin's parade on every St. Patrick's Day is just a huge colourful and theatrical event that involves community groups from all over the country, and as always, really superb marching bands from the US.
And there's a lot more than marching bands, isn't there?
A lot more than marching bands. We just walked past the Lord Mayor's carriage. We were talking about how he must have pimped his carriage, and there's just huge constructs. So every year the parade has a theme.
This has evolved into a great event for kids as well as adults.
The St. Patrick's Day Parade began in the 1930s, really as an industrial parade, and has become much more about involving the whole community, not just the state, not just companies, but really involving people from communities from all over the country, particularly for the big parade in Dublin. We've always had visiting American marching bands. That was kind of the musical element, really, along with our own military marching bands. But nowadays, we've people from all over come to get involved in the Dublin Parade.
Simon, thank you. This is great.
Thanks a million.
You've been listening
to your host and current Wilmer,
director of the St. Patrick's Festival in Dublin, Ireland,
and Simon O'Connor, curator of Little Dublin
with
Christina Walsh, and I'm from Dublin.
And I'm Brenda King, and I'm also from Dublin.
Tell us about some of the cool things to do and see, not only on St. Paddy's Day, but the whole week of St. Patrick's Day festivities.
Well, people generally come in and participate in the parade. They wear a bit of greenery, they put on a bit of shamrock, a green hat, might dye their hair green. And after when the parade is over, then they'll probably move to Merrion Square and get involved in some of the fun fair activities that'll be going on there. Then in the evening, there's Cayley dancing at the top of Stephen's Green.
Tell us about some of the theatre activities that go on. There's some world-class tickets that you can get to see some really cool stuff.
There are lots of concerts that are specially planned around the programme to commemorate St. Patrick's Week. And these can be booked online or through the St. Patrick's Festival website. Lots of kind of national programmes that are put together to celebrate Irish culture and Irish music and, of course, Irish dance.
And then the Guinness Storehouse have a programme of festivities that runs all day long. And most people go there to have the old pint of Guinness and up in the Gravity Bar where they get a great view of Dublin City. They also have Bowron playing there and more Cayley dancing. The restaurants as well for Patrick's Week put on special menus. They'll have the outside of their premises done up with balloons and more greenery.
Yes, everybody gets excited, you know, about celebrating the couple of days. There's also the big treasure hunt that happens in Dublin City. Clues are given out, everybody has to go round. It's great fun trying to work out the puzzles, and at the end, of course, there's prizes.
I understand there are special activities for families and kids, too.
Yes, there are. I mean, it's very much a family-focused event. The amount of activities that are there suit all age groups and age profiles. So everybody's welcome.
Hi, I'm Kira Segru. I'm with the trade marketing section of the National Tourist Board for Ireland, the Vulture Ireland, and delighted to be here talking to you today.
Share with the listener some of the cool things that are taking place that are unique to your Dublin.
This is a really special day for anyone who's Irish, and Dublin is really the place to be if you want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in style. The parade in Dublin is just part of a four-day festival that takes place across the city, and the parade is really something special, I suppose, for families all over Dublin. There's a huge tradition of coming into the city with your family. You know, you see guys on the train with their ladders to make sure they come in early, to make sure they can see. We have up to about 600,000 people on the streets to watch this parade. For a lot of Dubliners, one of the highlights is seeing some of the US high school bands and the college bands who are coming over. And right outside the door here, we have a big carnival, a fairground that's taking place all over the city. We just had a big outdoor Cayley out on the streets. Everyone could participate. There's lots of things going on everywhere in the city. And everyone gets out in their green and proud to be Irish, but we don't actually drink green beer here, contrary to what a lot of people might think. We stick to the black stuff here.
That's because the green dye wouldn't show up in the Guinness. Tell us about a few of the other events and festivities that take place throughout the week, like the evening concerts.
Yeah, big concert happening in the National Concert Hall, which is traditional, based on traditional Irish music. There's events right throughout the city. There's a big treasure hunt that goes on right through the city. It's very much aimed at visitors who happen to be in the city. Everyone can take part. A lot of families take part in that too. In the afternoon, there's lots of different food stalls. There's there is a beer craft festival on about the whole making of beer and helping some of the smaller breweries. The Genie Johnson, which is a very famous recreation of a replica of a famine ship that would have left Ireland many years ago during the famine times. That's all been actually decked out and it's been completely greened for St. Patrick's Day. Lots happening in Dublin no matter what time of year you come at.
I love it. For further information,
visit dublin.com or discoverireland.com. Liam will have links to, and not only in Dublin, but everything that's happening all around the country. Kira Sagru, I'm head of trade marketing with Fáilte Ireland.
Kira, thank you so much for sharing. This has been great.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. This has been a wonderful week.
Thanks, Tom. And say hello to everybody back in the States when you go home for us.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing elephant sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my life onto the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.